the other mistake would be children are being so loved and honored that they're really, it's beyond where it should be, because that we really should be teaching them to honor and respect their parents and to respect older men and women, so that they know their place in the best sense of the word, that they're happy to be children and know they're covered. But I think that I had the privilege years ago to teach school, junior high, all the way down to kindergarten 1 year. Can you imagine me as a kindergarten teacher? It was PE, so it was okay. But it's amazing. It's one of the most enriching things, and there's a sense of wonder. And as you know, I've been here long enough that I have dedicated babies and then sat there and present them as man and wife also. These babies that we dedicate, if we keep breathing, they grow up. And then it's been to see a little baby and dedicate, you know, a Cooper Sedebaca to the Lord, or my own children, or some of your children, and then see them as adults, and then seeing them carrying a father or a mother's heart for their children, this is close to the heart of God. And I think that, you know, when Jesus said, go and make disciples of all nations, he really does emphasize the importance of doing that within our own family. And I've shared this story, but this well-known minister, TV-type minister, author, well-known, well-respected, his 15-year-old, he found pot in her purse. He was horrified because this girl had been to all the camps and had done all the stuff. And, you know, and he couldn't believe it. And so it led to a family crisis, and he took time off, and he took his daughter to Disney World, to the Epcot Center. And they went there, and they went in the Epcot Center. I haven't been there. I'm sure Mike has, but they have the story of creation, which is really the story of the Big Bang, which is totally unprovable, because it's a theory. I'll give it a theory, but they use all the bells and whistles of how life began, and the way cells formed. And God is nowhere in this presentation. It doesn't say the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof and all who dwell therein. It doesn't say that he made all things, that he sits in the heavens and laughs and looks at the sons of men who rage against him. All these things that are in the scriptures that speak of his sovereignty, there was nothing there about that. So he's walking out with his daughter, and he said, what'd you think of that? She said, I thought it was really good. And he said, yeah, it was good. I mean, the acoustics and everything. He says, of course, it's not true. And she said, yes, it is. And he said, what are you saying? She says, you know, Dad, not everybody agrees with what you think. So he thought he had a drug problem. What he had was a worldview problem. That you raise your children up so that they have a worldview about this book and who made them, and then you can just expect bad behavior along the way at different times. But we end up zeroing in on the drugs. But what it was is the worldview had changed, and we have an opportunity in these kinds of things, VBS, to impact their worldview. Heard another story about a terrible mobster-type guy, killer, done just awful. I don't know his name, but I remember the impact was that he was about ready to blow his brains out at the end of everything, and a presence came over him. And he didn't know where that presence was. It was the presence of God. But he had known the presence once before, and it took him all the way back to Sunday school when he was a four-year-old boy, before his parents and all Hades broke loose in his life. So remember the Creator in the days of your youth. This is not just plain church and cute. there's an eternal impartation that goes on here in children. My first experiences, I can remember, some people think I have a memory like an elephant on certain things. I can't remember to empty the trash, but I can remember a lot of I can remember a lot of things. And I remember early, I can still remember things about God when I was 3 and 4 years old, questions I had, and the impact that that has. So we're really have a great opportunity. And I also want to just prophetically say our church is changing. Okay, it's changing. I remember when we had almost 50 in the high school. How many do we have in the high school group now? Nada. How many little rugrats under the age of 8 do we have running around right now? They're everywhere. Now, for those of you that want to have us older folks would like just children to be quiet and in their place, it's impossible. That's why we need more space for them to run around. We want them to love church. We want them to come here and say, God is real. This is fun. People, adults talk to me, young people. I don't want it to be something not family and God. And they, you know, and there's respect and honor. So we want that to happen. So in the next few years, we will see junior high and different expressions coming up with the children that is different. We had a nice little Sabbath for about 5 or 6 years. It's been kind of calm, you know. But when we had high school group, I'd find, who tore that doorknob off? You know, the bathroom's overflowing. Who did that? You know who did it? No one, but everyone. And so that comes with the territory. So that's something I want to prepare in your hearts, that the church gets messier again. And, you know, and for, I want to be the kind of adult that can be with messy kids and goofy and all that other kind of stuff, and also have a good enough memory to remember that I was a messy, goofy kid. There was a time I was running around with my nose running and my pants halfway down, you know. I was 5. I wasn't 15, so. Well, we're going to have communion, but I just wanted to say that because this is not a program-driven church. Programs are something that we set up for your consummation, so you can consume something that our think tank came up for your pleasure. As long as I'm here, that'll never happen. What happens is God speaks to you and something alive comes up in a person like Mike Spinello, then you rally around it and it's organic and it's alive. I can't imagine VBS without Mike. What are we going to do with VBS? Because his spirit is what makes it. And that's what we want. So when we get to junior high, when they start getting older and other new people come in with that age group, and they're going to come from all different places and experiences, it's going to take a lot of wisdom and grace and love. And it needs, for some of us too, to do that, it's beyond what we personally benefit from. Agape love is when you love someone or something that you don't benefit personally from. I mean, I get it why we get involved when my kids benefit, because they're my kids. This is good for my kids. But once you get older, that's why I appreciate Gary and Donna, Steve and Kim, Jim and Linda and Dale and Elise, older family, and I left others out, George, Jennifer, others whose kids are grown, but they're still dedicated here when they've already done it. They've raised their kids, now it's time to, but they're your kids because we're one body. So I'd like us to turn to Ephesians 4. And all the things I just said is therefore. Ephesians 4:1, sorry. Did you get it? He got it. He's so good. Ethan, you're great. Ethan, what can I say about you? You're a great kid. You know that? You know, he doesn't, Ethan doesn't get paid. He just comes here every Sunday. And since he was 10 years old, when all I could see was the red flat top, it's come up. Then I saw his forehead. Then I saw his eyes, nose, and he's grown up. How tall are you? He's 6'3 now. I remember when he's 3'6. But you know what? He's the only person in the church that understood the computers. It's that Pierce thing. So, and Ethan, you controlled the whole thing. You know that. You're behind the scene. Without you, we're sunk. So we really appreciate you. Therefore I, the prisoner of the Lord. Now that's a powerful statement. I heard someone say recently, if someone's treating you like a servant and you don't like it, then you're probably not a servant. Ouch. If someone's treating you like a servant, but you don't like being treated like a servant, you're probably not a servant. Ever someone treated you like a servant and your pride rises up, like, I don't deserve this? Someone else can, there's a brokenness, there's all this stuff, but let's move on. Therefore, I, a prisoner of the Lord, implore you, it's a powerful word, to walk in a manner worthy of the calling with which you've been called. Every one of you have a calling from God, a divine calling. What the devil does is he makes your calling seem insignificant because your calling's not like what I'm doing or like what Pat does or John, or where you're up there. So your calling is more in the background or doing different things. And so the enemy doesn't seem like it's significant, but the reality is the infrastructure of the body, everyone responding to their calling is what makes the body healthy. And every individual part is both needed and blessed by God. So if each of us function in our callings appropriately and obediently, the body's built up. But he says to do this, we've been called with all humility and gentleness and with patience and showing tolerance for one another in love. Now, stop there. Tolerance, not like the tolerance of our culture that's teaching tolerance in the schools, because the schools are intolerant to, unless you're tolerant. It's an oxymoron. But tolerance is really being able to accept the shortcomings of others with a heart of love for one another in love. Okay, keep going. Being diligent to preserve the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. Very important. Anybody here can really cause division within our church. If you just drop a one line, you want to be negative, or I want to be, whatever we can, you can do that. That's a powerful stewardship we have, so we have to be diligent. That means hardworking to preserve the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. So if there's a relational break, there's a problem, somebody's going through something, those that are mature should do their best to help people come together so that you can move on from there and there's the body's not divided. There's one body. I'm just going to say it. There's one body and one Spirit, one Holy Spirit, just as you were called in one hope of your calling, which is that one hope is Jesus Christ. One Lord. There is one Lord. There is no other Lords. There are many pretenders to the throne this morning all over the world. But there is only one King of Kings and one Lord of Lords. There is only one who died for our sins, was buried, and rose again from the third day. There's only one that's the Alpha and the Omega, the Lion and the Lamb. There's only one that's the Word of God, the bright morning star, Emmanuel, God with us, the Word of God. There's only one. It's Him. And He's, get this, He's your God, He's your Lord, He's my Lord. He's your Spirit, He's my Spirit. We're one faith, and then there's one baptism. One God and Father of all, who is over all, through all, and in all. But to each one of us has been given grace according to the measure of Christ's gift. As we come to the table this morning, I would like us first to be appreciative of the grace of God. There's not a single person in this room that's worthy to come to communion without the grace of God. The unmerited favor of God. We were saved by faith through grace and not of works, lest we boast. We are justified by grace. This throne up here, you know what it's called in the Bible? It's called the throne of grace. It says God gives grace to the humble. So the first thing is when you eat this morning, and I'm going to ask Bill to bring the table over, and Peter, you help him while I'm talking. Eucharist is praise and thanksgiving, so charis, which is where we get the word for grace as well. So we're going to receive grace this morning. Your drinking of this cup is the grace of God. The second thing I want to say, when you drink of the cup this morning, it's an expression of your faith. Grace becomes effective through the outworking of your faith. We walk by what? Faith, not by sight. We live by faith in the Son of God, Galatians 2:20. We are saved by faith in Ephesians 2:8. And Hebrews says he's the author and perfecter of our faith. And without faith, it's impossible to please God. Now please, when you come to the table, if you're struggling this morning with control issues and what if issues and stuff, receive the grace of God. Think about this. God Almighty, this is it. I mean, this is not a big show. It's just a loaf and a cup. It's amazing. His humility and his royalty. This is a church meal. This is a corporate meal. We belong to each other. Please tell me, I just want one show of hands. How many of you have brothers and sisters? Okay, most of you. How many have fought with your brothers and sisters? Okay. How many are never going to talk to your brother and sister again? How many of you quit the family because she took your toy? How many, immature Christians do that kind of stuff every day. They hurt my feelings. I'm leaving. I'm going to go to a church where I never get my feelings hurt. Good luck. Brothers and sisters fight sometimes. Brothers and sisters disagree sometimes. Brothers and sisters go through different things sometimes, but they're brothers and sisters. It's one body, one family. You belong to this family. Don't be a jerk when you fight. I'll throw that in. Not that anyone could be a jerk or jerk-ess, but it's possible. Much of what I do in my life is trying to mend those things over the years, because it's so easy to be offended and hurt. A lot of that is because we brought that into church from our own upbringings, and then we just assign it to church when it just makes us overly sensitive. But this is our reception of grace this morning. This is our saying, hallelujah, hallelujah, I'm saved by grace. How does that work? Well, I know that's foolishness to the Greek. The Greek says, no, that's too simple. You can't just be saved by grace. It's a stumbling block to the Jew. I need to go through all these religious things to be saved. He says, no. By grace. Unmerited favor. I did not deserve this. You did not deserve eternal life. He freely gave it. And now we partake. With those that are helping, come up, and Pat, you come up.